The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Tom Brady, Buccaneers. Yes, Tom Brady is leaving the Patriots. We're going to be talking about that today on the Functional Sportsaholic. You were listening to Sean and Sam. Sam, how you doing, my friend?
What is up, my friend?
Not much, not much. So before we get rolling here, I want to just jump right into the Tom Brady stuff, but a couple of show notes here. Obviously, the sports world is shutting down, but Functional Sportsaholic is alive and well. If everybody out there, I know we have a really big audience, frankly. If everybody out there could do us a favor, if you haven't already, please subscribe. If you haven't already, please like our show, whether you're picking us up on YouTube or iTunes. And then also follow us on Twitter. I'm at TFS, as in the Functional Sportsaholic, _ Sean. You should be able to see that in the show notes below. One other announcement. If you're a fantasy baseball player, the fantasy baseball book is still out there with the season postponed. I know a lot of people are waiting, but you can go ahead and pick that up. But let's get into the good stuff. Sam, were you surprised to hear that Tom Brady is going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yes, quite frankly, I thought, you know, maybe I was about to say San Diego Chargers. I was thinking maybe L.A. Chargers, just because it would kind of fit, like the lifestyle a little bit.
Yeah, right.
All that. But seems like they could. He's got some weapons in Tampa Bay.
He does.
It's like, an open division. Playing in Florida doesn't suck for an older body, you know, at least half the time. I could see him either going to a dome or a warmer place. You know, I know Arizona's got Kyler Murray, but I know that was kicked around a little bit.
Yeah. I wasn't buying that, but yeah.
The whole time I never really thought about Tampa Bay, even though they should have been a viable option, and mm-hmm. they're about 2 hours away, and they just weren't even on my radar as a landing place for Tom Brady.
Yeah, I was talking with Brad about this in the Get Paid podcast, also on iTunes, and, you know, ranked in the fantasy football category if you're interested. But I was talking with Brad about this, and I said, you know, they weren't on my radar either. And Brad was like, well, yeah, you know, but they were kicked around in articles. And when he said that, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I did see that, and I always dismissed it, just always dismissed it. But you're right, man. I mean, they have Mike Evans. They have Chris Godwin. They have not only that on the outside. They have some pretty decent younger guys. They have Rashad Perriman, I believe, still under contract. I'm confusing because I know the slot guy that they had a couple years ago is in Tennessee now. They have a young guy that can run out of the slot. I mean, they do have weapons in the receiving game, but they also have O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, two really talented tight ends. But what I get the Florida thing, no state income tax, warmer weather, better for your joints. You know, the TB12 method is all about pliability, so I know he's a little bit more spry and flexible than the average 43-year-old. But I'm surprised by it just because the system that Bruce Arians employs and Byron Leftwich calls, you know, he's the play caller, it's kind of a stand in the pocket and get the ball down deep, whereas Tom Brady has historically been a get the snap and get rid of the ball type quarterback. Not to say he's never taken deep shots, but I mean, the thing that just goes through my head is Bruce Arians is the guy that got fired in Pittsburgh because he was having Ben Roethlisberger stand in the pocket for too long. That was Ben Roethlisberger, big dude, ready, you know, usually, able to take hits, although he's getting a little bit older now. Tom Brady's never played in a system that is just like, hey, stand back there. Wait for things to develop downfield and throw the ball down.
Right.
Not to say he can't, but what I'm concerned about is like, can his 43-year-old ribs take punishment?
Right.
You know, he's never really, even when the Patriots offenses have been not as good, he's still gotten rid of the ball and not taken a ton of hits. So, I mean, I got to think that Tampa Bay is going to probably do some blending and have some get rid of the ball quick concepts. And, you know, I think both, you know, the play callers, both Leftwich and Arians and Brady as the signal caller, I got to think that the two of them will come together and they're so talented that it's going to work. But it's, you know, this isn't a slam dunk to me. Like, it would not shock me if Tom Brady, like, cracks a rib in the third week of the season. It really wouldn't, you know?
Yeah, it seems like both sides are going to have to be a little bit more pliable.
Yeah.
then, you know, they can't continue, you know, they can't just say, well, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
And he can't just be like, well, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they've already had these conversations, before,
maybe
before the ink is dry. You would think,
but this stuff comes together so quick, you know, and I was still up until I heard the news, I was still like, and I still believe this, the best place for Tom Brady this year and for the next couple of years is New England. And I cannot believe that what's going on organizationally, because you know it's not Kraft. Kraft would have had him forever. You know, Kraft would have had him until he's 80 if Tom Brady wanted it. So
for
it's Belichick.
Sure.
How Belichick couldn't get over the Patriot way enough to keep it together. Because what happens to the Patriots now? Their Super Bowl window's closed. It's
right.
closed.
And it's just basically a pissing contest between those
it
two.
Is.
And you know, they've been professional about it, but one day we're gonna have the old, you know, 30 for 30 type thing where we're just gonna get let into a ton of stuff that, you know, was going on during this whole time and about how these two were professional but couldn't stand each other. I mean, you just know it's gonna happen or come out at some point. And you know, Billy wants to win one without Brady.
Yeah, but his clock is running out too. Like
his
both of these guys,
clock is running, and they have no backup plan.
None.
They're gonna have to try. I guess they're gonna go after Brissett, is what I've been reading. But you know, that's not a slam dunk. That's not a, you know, their offense is already, you know, pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
The thing
last year is that, like, there was a lot of reported thing about Brady, you know, kind of like now's the end. But you get that every year. As I've said repeatedly on this show, I did not believe that was the case. I mean, certainly he's getting older. There's no doubt. And, yeah, he's degrading a little bit. But Brad and I, because we recorded the Get Paid, you know, podcast, and we went through, mm-hmm. we played the Would You Rather game with Tom Brady.
Right.
And we lifted every single quarterback, starting quarterback in the league for every team. And we said for 2 years, the next 2 years only, would you rather have Tom Brady running your team or, you know, quarterback X, you know, whoever that player was.
Right.
And Brad gave five players a nod over Tom Brady. I can't remember all of them, but they include Mahomes.
Okay. Yeah,
definitely Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Rodgers. And, you know, I don't know, maybe Deshaun Watson. I can't remember. But, there you go. So he had five. I had seven. Mm-hmm. that I would take over him. And there was some splitting hairs there, obviously. But both of us, again, agree that for the next 2 years, he's a top 10 quarterback.
Right.
And for the Bucs, although I think stylistically it's not a slam dunk fit, and I'll see how it goes. I mean, I certainly think that it certainly could work. I just don't think it's a slam dunk that's going to be reported for the next, you know, several months. And Tampa Bay, you know this, I mean, being kind of somewhat local, you know
right.
how the Florida sports scene is. When they get somebody, they just assume that it's a slam dunk.
right,
and Tampa
right, right.
Bay's made a lot of these splashes. The only one that I can think of actually working was when they traded for John Gruden, a coach. And they won the Super Bowl the next year, and then everything fell out from under them. So, I mean, it's great. We're in a honeymoon phase, and I think that the talent there can get it done. Obviously, I think Tampa Bay is going to work a little bit on the offensive line. But let me say this. Tampa Bay finished, which I was surprised by. You know, when I think of last year's Tampa Bay team, I don't think of a very successful team. But they finished 7-9 in the division. And they were a team that, you know, they were kind of one-dimensional defensively. I believe, I can't remember, it was one or the other. It was like polar opposites, but I believe they were good against the run and poor against the pass.
Right.
But also think about this, is that team, you know, threw for a lot of touchdowns, went for a lot of yards, which everybody expected, and threw for 30 interceptions, 3-0 interceptions.
Yeah.
Brady's not going to throw 30. I expect Brady to go for over 30 touchdowns if he can stay healthy. That's my big question. If he can stay healthy, I think it's a fantastic move. My only question is he going to be standing in the pocket for 4 seconds, deliver the ball downfield while taking a hit, like to the jaw? You know, because that's what basically ended Andrew Luck's career early, you know, because that's how the Indianapolis Colts had played football for a lot of his career. And
right.
then that's what got Arians fired from Pittsburgh. I mean, Arians has been successful everywhere. Carson Palmer. Had some injuries in Arizona. Again, the offense is successful. Can he stay healthy? But again, I think they'll do some work with the offensive line, but it's not about that. It's about the scheme of him standing back there. You give teams enough time, they will get to the passer.
Well, so, and I'm calling this early. Let's see how long it takes before the Andrew Luck to the Patriots rumor mill
I saw
starts.
It yesterday. I saw it,
oh, did it already
yesterday.
Start?
But it, okay. it wasn't in the press. It was the it was just like people on Twitter saying, "Hey, make it happen." But I've seen it, and you're right. I mean, that would be a great fit. And if you're Andrew Luck, I mean, think about this. If you're Andrew Luck, you retire because you're frustrated with your injuries, right?
Right.
Talk about a system, Andrew Luck taking hits his whole career, a system predicated on getting the ball out in 2 seconds where people can't hit you. If you're talking about fit, that's a fit. I don't think he'll come back, but if there was a team for him to come back to, this would be the case. Although he's still under contract, so I believe they would have to trade with the Indianapolis Colts. And there's no love loss there with the Josh McDaniels situation and them being stood up. So I don't think the Colts will make it easy for the Patriots to acquire this quarterback. I'm really confused by, you know, a part of me is wondering if Belichick deep down is thinking, yeah, we're just going to let Brady walk and then we're going to show Mr. Kraft why we should have kept Garoppolo and traded Brady.
Right.
Because going into the draft with Stidham at quarterback, I just don't get it. I don't understand how they couldn't make this work. I understand structure, I understand scheme, but, you know, relaxing the reins just a little bit across the board. It doesn't even have to be just for Brady. Across the board to keep that Super Bowl window. What's the goal here, Sam?
Right.
You know? So Belichick, I don't know how old he is. He's nearing, if not over 70, late 60s in the very least.
Right.
I mean, what's the end game here? Is what? Okay, you're not going to tank. I heard another thing I saw on Patriots or the Twitter is like, well, the Patriots are going to tank and they're going to get Trevor Lawrence next year. No, they're not. I mean, it's still a Belichick team. They're still going to go 8-8. I mean, that's the floor for this team.
Yeah, so he's not. It's not in him to just like roll over.
No, and he's not going to roll over.
All right, right. So, no, he wants to have a damn good year if you believe anything about, you know, this guy. You know, because
wouldn't it be funny if Stidham goes like 4-1 in the first 5 games and Brady's sitting at like 2-4 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's gonna be awful. Like the slander that's thrown, like, Tom Brady's a system quarterback and all this crap.
Belichick factor, I do believe that this team's gonna be good. But another thing to think about is Brady for years had been taking a low dollar amount at quarterback to keep, you know, I mean, that's rare. He's the only person doing it. There's reports out there that says, look, Patrick Mahomes, when he signs his extension, he's very mindful that, you know, as he becomes a $40 million quarterback, which will happen, that could have some effects across the team. And that's what Russell Wilson is dealing with, right? That's why the Seattle's not making the deep playoff runs anymore. It's because, you know, he's got to carry the team down. Now, thankfully for Seattle, he's ascended and been able to do that. But you got a guy like Patrick Mahomes, he's already come out and said, look, I don't want to hamstring the team. The good news, I guess, for the Chiefs fans and, you know, the NFL across the board, is this new CBA that is ratified is going to bring in a couple billion more dollars into the pot thanks to the NFL gambling language that they're going to put in there, because they're finally embracing gambling.
Right.
And they're going to get some money. And the NBA is doing very well with that, too, I believe. But, I mean, that's going to go into the coffer there. And basically, long story short, is the cap is going to grow astronomically over the next 5 years. Like, we're going to see a bad quarterback making $30 million a year. That's why this whole Dak Prescott franchise thing is like so goofy to me. Just extend the guy. It's not going to his percentage of cap is going to fall. The smartest thing they could have done is just guarantee, you know, give him a 7-year deal. Because even in that case, you don't guarantee all of it, but you guarantee a lot of it. It's going to, like, the sticker shock is going to get people initially, but 3 years down the line, that $30 million, I'm telling you, it's going to be like half a percentage of what it is today because of the gambling money. So if it doesn't work, then you cut them anyway. Screw it. It doesn't matter. And people are still like, I was complaining about this on the Get Paid. I came out with a video about why franchising Dak Prescott was stupid, and people are still arguing with me about it. And okay, I mean, If you want to think this is 1999 or 2004, that's fine. But that's not the way the economics of the game work, and it's not the way they're going to work. You have to think forward. which is all about this. That's what our show is about, baby.
That's what it's about, baby. I mean, you can't still think that, you know, bread is a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, for a loaf of bread or milk is 65 cents. Like, the sticker shock is, you know, something, but you got to think down the line.
It's... Yeah. Down the line, brother. Down the line. Sam, life today is kind of a lot. It forces us to always be on, but every now and then, it's important to just stop, crack open a Mountain Cold Coors Light, and chill. So when you choose to turn off, choose the one beer that's made to chill. Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and it's Coors Light. So the mountains on the bottles and the cans turn blue when your beer is cold. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit that reset button, just open up a Coors Light, that Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. Man, Sam, I gotta say, this world is getting nutty. I think everybody in the world is feeling it, certainly everybody in the country. You got schools shutting down, restaurants closing, still got to do work. Everybody's trying to work from home, set up offices. I think you're working from home now, right, buddy?
Yeah, man, super busy at home.
Super busy. It is time to chill for me. So right after I get done with this, I should have one right now for crying out loud, but when we get done with this podcast, dude, I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be popping open a Coors Light. Everything, as I said, is go, 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 nonstop hustle. Nonstop bustle has taken over. It's kind of a lot. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and we know what's going on in the climate. If the pace of things is wearing you down, it's wearing me down like crazy right now. Take a moment, pause, refresh yourself. You need to take a moment to turn off and relax. Don't mindlessly scroll online. Don't binge watch TV. I know it is very tempting to binge watch that TV right now. I see everybody on Twitter is doing binge watching TV. Don't go golfing just for the sake to drink. Go golfing for the fresh air, not just to drink, though. But if you do, bring some Coors Light with you, right? Hey, everybody out there, Coors Light, it's the one I choose when I need a moment to chill. I cannot wait to crack open one after this show. So when you need to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. You have to have some Coors Light delivered to you. That's right. They will deliver. Go to get.coorslight.com, everybody. Yes, they're reacting to the environment just like we will. You can have it delivered. Go to get.coorslight.com and find local delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly, everybody. It's Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Oh, man, that's good news that they can freaking deliver beer. I like that.
Yeah, man.
You know what? I bet you their beer delivery service is going to be surviving long, long past this whole ordeal.
Oh, for sure.
Think about that, man. Like Super Bowl part, like all that stuff. It's gonna be great, man. It's gonna be great. Good for them.
Well, that way you're not risking, you know, somebody driving to go pick up more.
Yeah.
When they've already been having some, you know. Smart.
Love that service. Love it. Hey, breaking news. Actually, you let me know this just before recording. So Todd Gurley, man, gone.
Todd Gurley released.
Yeah, they were looking at trading him. Look, I think it's a good idea to get out from under that contract. The problem, I'll just touch closely on this because I want to talk a little bit of NCAA before we talk about and kind of close the show out. I think that the problem with the Rams is they couldn't get any running game going. I am a little nervous for the Rams at this point because I don't like Mac. I mean, they're going to have to go running back in the draft because if they liked Henderson, who they drafted last year, he would have got more playing time. Mac Brown, not exactly a light in the world on fire there. A committee approach, I'm not loving the idea of it. I don't like it, Sam. I don't like it.
No. You wish they would have traded him, or
I don't know. Well, it's hard to say, man, because they need
keep him.
They had to extend him. So yeah. I didn't love the contract. I get why they did it. I guess I'm going down with the ship on the argument. I just think that there was some juice left in the tank. Maybe not at that contract number. So when you start to talk about the economics, it makes a little bit of sense. But as we were talking about before with Tom Brady, I mean, the economics of football are about to drastically change with the new CBA. So, I don't love it. And I don't think that Goff is the guy that can continuously take you to the Super Bowl. I think he needs that run support. So. That's how I see it. So NCAA, I believe they actually officially canceled the tournament right after we released our episode last week.
Yeah.
Because last week, I believe we were talking about the NCAA tournament being played without fans.
Right.
That had been announced. And then the next day, boom, it was over. So that's a bummer. Kansas ends the year number one. I feel super bad for... you know, for all the players that, you know, would have been able to play in the 64 this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dream. It's a dream come true for a lot of people. And, you know, every year you get these small conferences that, you know, battle throughout their, you know, their tournaments, and they, mm-hmm. they get through a lot of, in those situations, have 4-year players that have been trying to get in for years. And, you know, these seniors that didn't get the proper farewell for their last games, and golly, right. man, it really sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah. I feel, you know, or the guys that came back, like, you know, and wanted to make that run, mm-hmm. To just have it in like this is awful. I wish they, you know, I get it. I wish they could have figured out some way to do it, but you know, it is the smart thing to do at this point.
Yeah. Can't argue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get into a, you know, a PR nightmare or something where you,
yeah, their PR, you know, is bad enough.
Yeah. You had a kid traveling and then, you know, they got sick somewhere or whatever. And you know, if the rest of the country is kind of shutting down and staying inside, you really can't make these kids go play a basketball game. So it's a weird thing. We've never ever seen anything like this in our lifetimes, so it's just, it's really strange, and it's going to be, you know, I think everyone's ready to get back to some norm, or will yeah. be ready to get back to some normalcy once we can get there.
Yeah,
not having sports is usually a big thing, you know, a big deter, you know, people look to sports to kind of get away, or
yeah.
it's a good distraction. You know, distraction, or it's a good interest to have to kind of take your mind off some of the other stuff. And I feel like when something like this is happening, it kind of amplifies all the other stuff, so everyone, even if you're not anxious, your anxiety goes up. I think there's a lot of just anxious people, so I think sports, having sports around is really important. And March Madness, you know, you and I have always been big into March Madness.
Yeah.
And to not have that this year is really weird. We'll look back on this and be like, this is the year that we didn't have conference tournaments, we didn't yeah. have March Madness, and you know, it's missed.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a real bummer. So, actually, you know what? Why don't that leads me? Why don't we just talk about the coronavirus, brother?
Well, let's do it. Because we haven't heard enough of that.
Yeah.
But actually, I've been trying to stay pretty even keel. I got enough people in my life telling me what's going on about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I mean, I work in the health field.
Oh, yeah.
And
of course.
You know, all, you know, people close to me are super in the health field, so I just, you know,
don't want to talk yeah. about it too much.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't
mind. You
want
to get caught in the fear cycle.
I'm like, yeah, give me the lowdown. Like, what do I need to do? What do I need to worry about? If there's something other than that, you know, I'm not getting caught up in the hysteria, you know, because you go, you know, I'm enjoying the outside, you know, and not out spending money in stores and restaurants and stuff, man. It's really been nice to be able to get outside and enjoy some life. And people seem to be pretty happy when I walk by them. So
yeah, that is yeah. true. The weird thing is, I saw that in Italy the stats are coming out, and there's a lot of like 20 to 45-year-olds.
Yeah, it's seeming to hit that yeah. a little bit more. So
I think maybe, I mean, who knows? Because I'm not a doctor. We're just talking, spitballing here. But I'm wondering if it's because what's been in the press is basically the only people that really have to worry about it is the older generation or at-risk people and everything. I wonder if, you know, the younger generation just isn't really taking it that seriously and not going to the hospital until things are, like, really bad.
Right.
Like me,
right.
I'll be honest with you. I tend to think that it's going to happen in the U.S. because we talked about this. Like, there's no way – we're not an oppressive government, right? We're not
right.
China. We're not like, you know, this basically this oligarchy or this, you know, this dictator led. And I know China's not a dictator. It's a socialism and all that. But, you know, basically the government does what it wants to do there. Right. And so what China can do is say, hey, if they want to. Right. If they can say, hey, stay in your house. And if you come out, we're going to arrest you.
Right.
That's not the way it works here.
Right.
On top of that, like the United States, I will say this in my travels abroad, comparing the U.S. only to my experiences throughout South and West Europe, not East Europe, okay? I will say the United States has a penchant to work a lot more than the other people, than
right.
these other countries. And specifically, the other countries have what I would like to call work-life balance, right? It's what American companies say they have, but they actually don't have it.
Right, right.
European
right.
companies, they'll take a month off in the middle of the year, regardless what's going on. Even if that's the busy season, they'll take a month off. You know, they'll recharge. And that, I think that's a good thing. I really do. I'm not criticizing that at all. What I am saying is that the United States has a mentality that has driven me crazy for years, having worked through the corporate cycle. If I got sick, like let's say I got a cold, right? And I went to my boss and said, "Hey, so and so, hey, look, I have a cold. I'm good to work, but you know, I probably shouldn't be coming into the office and infecting people." And my boss would then say, "If you're sick, you know, take your time off.
Take your vacation time
because it's PTO. Take your vacation time, or come into the office. You make the decision." Now, me as a manager, when I got into managing head teams, if I heard somebody sneezing, I'd bring him to my office and I would kick him out of the office. I'd say, "You can work from home. I don't want my entire team getting sick for the next 4 weeks, you know, and I certainly don't want to get sick, so go home. If you think you can contribute, great, contribute away from here." And what I will say is I know a lot of people that will get sick and they'll show up to work because they think that the boss respects their grind, right? Oh man, they're playing hurt. No. I mean, I agree that actually does happen and there are bosses that think that. No, that's stupid. The right thing to do is to go home and not get everybody sick. Make sure that the entire team is better and make sure that you're better too, right? If you want to contribute, we live in 2020, man. Everybody can telecommute now. Everybody. Unless you're like a warehouse worker, grocery store, or something like that. Everybody can telecommute. So telecommute, everybody, for crying out loud. But that's, again, that's the U.S. mentality. Another thing is, I was talking with somebody pretty close to me, and I asked them if they went to church this past weekend. And they said, "Well, yeah, I mean, you got to have faith that everything will work out." Now, I'm a Christian person. I do have faith. However, I don't have faith that there are smart people around me, okay? I have faith in general, but do I have faith that my community will be smart enough to say, "You know what? I have the coronavirus. Maybe I shouldn't go cough into somebody's mouth for the next hour in a confined room," right?
Yeah, or shake hands.
And at some point, the leadership has to save the congregation and these things from themselves. So I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm saying set up maybe outdoor services.
Well, they do online stuff too. I know a bunch of people like my
Everybody should have online services.
Yeah, they have online services, and they had a ton of people extra. They closed it down to the actual services. The only people they had there were the like the choir members.
That's responsible.
You know, and then the pastor. And then everything else they had just video, you know, because they were like, we don't need people in here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the responsible thing to do. But there are people and communities and organizations, you know, it's companies. I'm not, you know, pointing out the churches and all that. Because I think, you know, hey, church is great. Go to church. I like to stream church anyway, so it doesn't really impact me. But I'm saying is you got to have some humility that, you know, this thing is it could get out of hand. But with the United States, I mean, the flights aren't grounded yet. People are still flying. Let me say this. If I had a cough and I was not coronavirus positive and I had a dream trip to Hawaii the next day that, you know, I couldn't easily reschedule, although people are being pretty, they're being accommodating, right? Do I stay home? I don't. Maybe now I do because of what's out in the press, but in general, if I had a cough going into a vacation, I would go. And a lot of people, I would. I mean, am I gonna stop because I have the sniffles? I could just say, well, that could be allergies. I don't know. I mean, and this is our mentality. So to some degree, Sam, I just think we're all gonna get it, and it's about being as healthy.
I think there's a strong chance we're all gonna get exposed to it. Now, will we all have symptoms? No. Will we all get super sick? No.
Right.
But we could get somebody else sick. And, you know, I think people out there still trying to do, you know, it's smart at this point for them to shut, you know, not shut restaurants down, but mm-hmm. I know a lot of restaurants are getting creative and offering discounts for, hey, pick up and all this stuff. The last, you know, two nights I've gotten pickup. You know, I've walked up to the restaurants close to me, picked it up and had the picnic outside with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been nice, you know, it's fun. And, you know, I like doing that. I tip them a little bit more than I normally because, you know, they're trying to, and you know, it's local businesses and stuff. And
that's what scares me. Yeah.
Yeah. So trying to still keep that going, and just being a little bit more creative with it.
Yeah, it's I'm worried because there are a lot of businesses, especially because America really is built on small business. I mean, you know, like these big grocery stores, and they're banking now, but maybe that's a bad example.
Right.
Let's say a company like Amazon, right? Huge company, but even they're hurting, right? Because the shipping's slowing down. Some of their part-time employees are going to feel the crunch. We haven't as an economy yet, and by the way, the Fed rate is already at zero. So there's not really any tricks up our sleeve at this point, other than, hey, let's dip into our deficit and make the deficit bigger and give some more money like a stimulus. And it's just not going to work. I mean, Sam, you and I have lived through this twice now with 9/11, the big stock sell-off in 9/11, and
right.
then the recession.
And then the housing, yeah.
Yeah, right. So this is the third time now in our adult life, Sam, that we're living through this. You and I know the drill. The stimulus, it's nice to have, and I will gladly cash the check. Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, my consulting business, it's going to go out of business here in probably 2 months. So I might be, you know, begging a grocery store to stock shelves overnight. Seriously, I mean, that's going to be where I'm going to be at. Because the sports world is shutting down, boohoo for us. But our sponsors, we have, you know, certainly great partnership, which you talked about a little bit earlier. But some of our sponsors are going away because, like, sports books, you know, what are sports books marketing right now? Futures? We don't even know if the games are going to be played yet. So they're not going to, you know, throw a bunch of money at podcasts and YouTube channels and all that stuff. So, you know, we're in growth mode and we're going to keep it going anyway because, you know, it's fun to do and, you know, we need some time away from this stuff. But, yeah, the economy, man, it's going to take a crunch. It's going to kill my business, my non-media related business, and that's just how it is. I'm going to have to go get a job. You know, I've been doing all right for what, a year and a half now without one, or a year without one. Now I'm going to have to go get one.
Well, and this is the good, you know, this is a good time, not to make it a political show, but this is actually a good time to actually have somebody that has vested interest in business, so he's doing everything he can do to try to not have a, you know, huge collapse of an economy, because he's a businessman, he cares about that more.
Yeah, believe me, real estate is his bread and butter. And
right.
one of the interesting things about this too is, like, look, like, all these businesses now are telling people to telecommute from home. And this is interesting because one of the things in my stock portfolio, which is worth about 50 cents now, it used to be worth a pretty decent amount. It's worth about 50 cents, maybe 49 cents. I'm not sure. It might be 50 pesos. I'm not even sure where we're at now. But and I don't look at it because I don't want to cry. But
it's worth some pogs.
Yeah, it's like a couple pogs.
I mean, all of ours have taken an absolute dump.
I mean,
it's just a,
it's how it is. But it'll rebound. It'll rebound. Now's the time to actually put money into it.
You know, it just sucks at the moment.
You don't take the loss until you sell the stock. So I'm not selling anything. And actually, one of the reasons I'm trying to actually chase work is because I want to get money to put and infuse money into it. Because, again, the reality is, like, every dollar you put in when this thing bottoms out, you're probably going to get about $1.80 back. You're almost going to double your money just in the rebound. I really am trying to infuse as much money as I can into the markets now, because, you know, thankfully I'm in a position where we're still okay, because my wife is bringing home the bacon at this point, and I'm just recording podcasts and making videos with my buddy. But one of the stocks I do have is a commercial real estate, like, dividend fund, and, you know, all of these companies that are now going to telecommute. And they're going to be fine because a lot of them will telecommute. They're probably going to say, like, why don't – and the layoffs are going to happen. They're going to say, why don't we just decrease our footprint by half? What's that going to do to the commercial real estate industry, you know? And that's going to hit – believe me, that's going to hit Trump in the pockets. So he doesn't want that to happen, right? So there's a lot of stuff. But again, Sam, you and I have lived through this. To me, like, everybody's talking like this is going to be 2 to 4 weeks in the U.S. First of all, 2 to 4 weeks with the lockdown, maybe. Like, I saw the report about this could be an 18-month pandemic with different, basically ascending, spikes of getting sick, which I anticipate will happen again because of the American way of doing things. And we're going to work and we're going to grind. At some point, America's just going to say, you know what, we gotta get through this and we'll get back to normal, even though people are still getting sick. That's going to happen. And that's about when the economy is going to rebound. I'm guessing that's not, by the way, that's not going to take 4 weeks. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm guessing that takes probably 2 years. And we're going to go through, we haven't hit the big layoff blip yet. We're going to hit that. It's going to be interesting. So my advice to everybody, is to insulate and save as much money as you can, because things are still going to progress and get weird. And then also take care of your bodies, get some zinc pills, start, you know, pounding vitamin C where you can, because this sickness doesn't look like any walk in the park. And I have asthma, so I'm a little worried. You know, if I get it, I had a flu that turned into pneumonia a couple years ago, as you know. So I'm not looking forward to getting it when I get it, because we will get it. But, you know, just be ready for the fight. Prep your body, baby. You got to prep.
That's it, man. Just wash your hands, and when you're touching stuff out there, wipe it down, man.
Wipe it down.
And stop hoarding everything.
Stop hoarding the toilet paper, guys. Come on.
God, it's so stupid, man.
Toilet paper. The hand sanitizer, I can get. The toilet paper, I mean, come on.
I can get too, but man, you should already have some hand sanitizer. Like, you know, some of these people are dirty. Like, you just now started washing your hands. You just now started using toilet paper. Hand sanitizer. Hand sanitizer in my car, a jug, you know, right in my side thing. Because every time I get gas or every time I put my hand on something, I pump some in my hand because I don't want to get sick. Like, this is nothing new. But some of y'all are dirty, man.
Dirty.
Like, I don't know how y'all been living. So.
Dirty.
Whatever.
Right. Well, you know what? I think we, on that note, we can end the show there. We're keeping this going. Once again, everybody, please like and subscribe. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple iTunes. Subscribe to the channel if you're catching us on YouTube. And then Twitter, I'm at @TFS_Sean. Sam is at @TFS_Sam. Van Dam. Thanks, everybody. You know, be healthy and be good.
Be good.
Welcome to the podcast. Functional sportsaholic. Sam and Sean, who they be. Sports in real life. They got real lives. Better tune in every week. Don't miss the podcast. Cause you might get put on blast. And you know just what we call it. Functional sportsaholic.
Yeah, yo, sport addicts with real lives. Talking about real life, they real nice. Going cray on the Netflix late nights. NFL to NBA, keeping the game tight. Reppin' the 407, Old Town. And 9-4s when they met, now they hold it down. Talking life, talking real social issues. All lighthearted, so don't bring your tissues. And don't talk stupid, cause Sean might lose it. You love sports, this podcast strikes like Cupid. Taking road trips, why not just for kicks? Sean going global, you know why? YOLO. And don't get him started on Gooch Givens. They here to spit knowledge, no time for the dishes. Aging like a fine wine, sipping in the kitchen. Gray in the beard, got wisdom, so listen.
Functional sportsaholic. Sam and Sean, who they be. Sports in real life, they got real lives. Better tune in every week, don't miss the podcast. Cause you might get put on blast. And you know just what we call it. Functional sportsaholic.